Welcome to Amiga Disciple Makers, a course that I've put together over the years for training and making disciples who make disciples out in the marketplace, practical. In other words, a practical course I call Real Christianity. And it's comprised of three different levels, and one we're looking at the moment is level one, foundation basics, and we're on level three, chapter three. Chapter three is about the basics, foundation basics we need to know, because Paul, why do we need to look at it? Paul said many Christians remain spiritual babies because they still argue about baptism, born again, laying on of hands, judgment, and so on. And they should be teachers, but they don't really know enough. They just arguing. They just have opinions, and they're not sure. So over the years, I've put together something out of the teachings of Jesus and what he taught, what he had to say about things. And so I think he's the one that we should refer to. And this is number seven in chapter three, and it's judgment. It's the last of Paul's different topics. And the question is here, what has one done to deserve judgment? And why does God judge people? Aren't we good people? Isn't he a God of love? Because the term judgment implies we must be punished by law. If so, what on earth are we guilty of? Jesus said we were all perishing on our way to eternal damnation unless we believe in his message. John 3:16 says quite clearly, and this is Jesus speaking, God so loved the world that whoever believes in his message, in him, would not perish. And that would not perish means obviously go to eternal damnation, which we know or we believe is hell. But he says, but those who do believe will have eternal life. And that's one of the benefits of following Jesus. Here we see that all who believe may not perish, but inherit heaven. This implies that all mankind on the planet will not go to heaven unless they believe and are changed by the Spirit of God. Why is this? Jesus referred to the devil as the prince of this world, which he rules. And also, when the devil tempted Jesus in the desert, he tells Jesus that the world and all its kingdoms belong to him. They were given to him, and it's his to give to anyone he likes. He quotes that to Jesus. And that means, of course, that because the devil rules this world, the people here are really follow the ways of him. In other words, the evil that we see on this world, it's sometimes just mind-boggling what carries on. And I believe that were it not for the few godly people on this world, this would be a terrible hell just to even start with. So judgment, if we look at the word judgment from the Strong's Concordance, the type of dictionary, it says it's a damnation, it's an accusation, it's a separation, a sentence, and then, of course, punishment. So Jesus said he's coming will bring judgment on disbelievers. That's John 9:39. And what are the things that will cause us to be judged? Jesus said our words will judge us in Matthew 12:36. He says this, but I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word spoken. Every careless word. Just imagine that. You see, God is a God of love, and he expects us, his believers, to have that command. The greatest command is to love one another and to love God. Love yourself. And if you love someone, you're not going to deliberately hurt people by your words or your thoughts or your actions. It should not be possible. But the normal in this life is to mock people, to slander them, to judge them, to condemn them. And so, unfortunately, this is true for all of us. And Jesus said he came for judgment. He said also he doesn't judge us, but he came for judgment. I've come in the world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. And that's John 8:15. Okay, so he came into this world for judgment. That's why he actually came. But Jesus himself does not judge us. He said this in John 12:47. He said, you judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. He judges no one. But as for the words, a person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him. But God is the one who judges. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it from God's judgment. And that is John 12:47. In John 8:50, Jesus said, I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words which I spoke will condemn him on the last day. You see, Jesus came, the words that he spoke were words of his Father. He often said, I only speak what my Father tells me to speak. So then he said, in Revelation 14:7, we see, he said in a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him, he who made the heavens and earth, the sea and the springs of water. So judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, in Matthew 12:36. So I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother, and some manuscripts say without a cause, will be subject to judgment. In other words, if you're angry, again, who says to his brother, Raka, or you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Is this not because God has made all people in his image, and that we do not act out of love, which is his commandment? Anything that we say or do to others made in the image of God is against this law, will bring divine judgment. You see, when we say to somebody, you fool, we're saying that God made a fool. In essence, we can't judge people, but we can judge the spirit behind the person, their behavior. It's like a child. You know, if a child is very naughty or does something bad, many parents make the mistake to tell the child they're bad. No, it's their behavior. The child is not bad, it's their behavior, and they need to learn and to be trained, and that's why God loves us. The next section is, we are also guilty of judging others. Do not judge others, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. And then he talks to the Jews, and of course, we can actually say to ourselves, they are an example that we must be careful, otherwise the same thing will happen to us. But in Matthew 11:22, he says, but I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment for you. He was saying that the Jews, who thought they were religious and were good people, they would be okay. But Jesus is saying, no, their punishment will be far greater. And in a sense, we saw that in AD 70, when the entire Jerusalem was completely razed to the ground by the Roman army in AD 70. In fact, the whole of Israel was taken captive, and they took half of the population away, and for slaves, and for torture, and for throwing to the lions in the Roman circuses around the different provinces. And the half that they left were, strange enough, were mostly poor people that had been abused by the Jews, and so they left them in charge of the fields and the vineyards and so on. They weren't a bad, the Romans weren't all that bad. They actually, Titus, who was the actual the Roman general who invaded Jerusalem, said that he gave them a number of opportunities to stop whatever they were doing and lay down their arms, and he will just carry on as normal. But they just had to stop their nonsense. But there were riots in every town, every province in the land of Israel at the time. And they were rising up, and they were doing all sorts of terrible things. And the Romans had to come and put a stop to it. So they weren't all that bad. They were just, in a sense, I think that they were like in Nebuchadnezzar, who also destroyed Jerusalem and knocked down the walls. Where God said to, God said that he will use Nebuchadnezzar, his chosen servant, to come and bring judgment on the Jewish nation in those many hundreds of years before. And at the same way, Jesus came again to bring judgment. You know, Jesus said, I will return for judgment. Beware of the day, because on that day there will be wailing and weeping and such a terrible calamity that has never been seen before, and we saw that in AD 70. So how will we know that we are sinning, or anyone else will matter? How do we know we're sinning? Well, Jesus gave us the ability. He gave us a promise. He said, I will send a comforter. He will convict the world of guilt, all expose the guilt of the world in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Note, it wasn't to condemn us, okay? It's to convict us of sin, right? It's not to condemn us. So condemnation is God's work. And we have the Holy Spirit within. When we believe, God enables us and he fills us with his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has been given us to know what is true and what is not true, what is right and what is wrong. In a sense, it's like our conscience. You know, when we were children, when we came out of, when we were born, God's Spirit was in us. But the problem is that as we grew up, that voice of conscience that said, don't steal, don't do this, don't do that, even as a little child, I mean, I know that my friend, his mother owned a little cafe around the corner, and there were lots of sweets, and we used to go in, and when she wasn't looking, we'd take the sweets, and we knew it was actually wrong. We, even at the age of about 8 or 9, so that shows that God's voice was in us, but gradually, as time goes by, that voice of conscience is killed or stifled or stalled, and that's why Jesus said our spirits must be cleaned and washed and made new again, and that's what being reborn is about, and we've looked at being reborn. So what about our past? What about our past where we've done a lot of wrong things? I mean, I've also, in my own life, if I thought I was a good person, but when I look back, I thought, gee, you know, how can God forgive me for that? But when you accept Christ, when you repent, that's the whole point about the previous sections on salvation and repentance. When you repent, then these things are forgiven, you're put behind, you know. So when we come before God and we say we are truly, truly sorry, okay, he says, okay, from now on, he says, I'll forgive you, but you must also forgive anyone who offends you. In other words, that's an act of love, is also forgiving one another, because that's what God said. You've got to love one another, and forgiving is a loving, no matter how bad that act is. And lastly, when we die, we actually receive an inheritance. So, you know, not only do we receive peace and a sense of well-being and meaning and purpose in life when we accept Jesus and the Holy Spirit changes us and we go around doing what he asks us to do, not only that will we have a better life on earth, but we receive an inheritance which we claim when we die of gaining entry into God's kingdom. So when we repent, when we receive salvation, when we are born again and made right with God, through the promises of the new covenant written between God and man, because that's why Jesus came, written in his blood, then we get our inheritance, and that is access to heaven and entry into heaven and eternal life. And this is, of course, will be a wonderful event when we get there. We'll see family and friends, hopefully, that they've also gone there. And that will be a marvelous thing. And, of course, we will also see the Lord, and that will be an awesome event. And I just trust that this is the end of this series, and I just trust it's been a benefit to you. Arthur Dilley saying thank you, goodbye.